This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're doing well. Bear Trey with me. Big show lined up for you. Josh Pate coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Blake Topmeyer of your Knoxville News Sentinel in hour number two. A lot to unpack this afternoon. Hello, Bear. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Russell. I'm ready to get down and get funky.
Unpack the issues, solve the world's problems, do all that kind of thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Trey Wallace, good afternoon.
Hey, gentlemen. Hope y'all are doing well today.
Yeah, man, I'll do it better. It was a kind of a crummy night last night. That was rough. A stunning performance. I'm still stunned that Tennessee just came out
sobering.
Late in. Sobering. That's
sobering
a good. Yeah, it was
word.
Sobering.
Yeah. Yeah, got like
dose of reality.
Across, yeah, exactly. Got slapped right across the face with it. Whap.
Yeah, it was it was stunning, wasn't it? To see Tennessee, I can't remember a game where, you know, obviously Alabama beat us, but and maybe we overlooked them a tad at the time, but it was.
Russ, we looked like we didn't want to be there.
Yeah, man. There were the effort, I guess is what I'm trying to say, wasn't there. And we've all come to take that for granted from a Rick Barnes coach team. I don't think we gave great effort last night.
No. I mean, we've got 3 hours to unpack it. I'm extremely disappointed, Russell. Trey.
I had to go on.
Extremely disappointed.
I had to shut off social media because I'm absolutely just getting dragged by Florida fans for tweeting.
Trey and I enjoyed that
earlier in the morning that we were going down there to collect our rent. I called my shot, didn't work out, got retweeted by the freezing cold takes thing, and that just opened up the floodgates. And it was bad. Had to.
No, freezing cold takes got you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was okay up until then. It was just like a couple Florida fans that had kind of like bookmarked it, and then it was just a deluge of it was bad.
I mean, just gotta say, let it be known that me and Trey have never been retweeted by freezing cold takes.
It's fine. I mean, it was a bold. I knew it when I put it out there. I knew this was a possibility. It's okay. Like, listen, it's just, they're just words, right? I'm still here. It doesn't hurt me. I'm more concerned about the fact that our basketball team is we're having to recalibrate our expectations now. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, it's not like that was a great Florida team. First of all, they weren't great to begin with, and they're missing two, maybe three of their top players. And they ran us out of their building. Absolutely ran us out.
Oh, with the West Knoxville native.
Yeah.
Sticking a knife in there.
Beard and boy going off on us.
And, God.
And we didn't do anything well, right? We didn't shoot well. We didn't guard. We didn't rebound. I just throwing this out there. And this is speculation. I don't know anything. I'm not trying to start anything here, but it almost looked like did something bad happen before the game? Did we get some bad news about something? I mean, did Fulkerson anybody else?
Went to the bench twice in the first two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
There was it when I cut it off. There was at one point they had a camera on him, Trey, where he was. I don't know if you saw this, where he's like, you know, walking around and back there, and it's so weird the way it's set up now. But he was like, it looked like a set of doors, and you know, he kind of like kind of halfway bewildered, halfway frustrated. I mean, son, it's time to step the hell up.
Yeah, I mean,
Barnes was furious after the game.
What did he say? I meant to check that. Find me a quote or two, Trey, because I was very interested to hear what he had to say. But Florida came out just absolutely their hair on fire, which, okay, we're a top 10 team. We're going to get everybody's best effort. We go on the road, like, and I thought, okay, we didn't match their intensity out of the gates, but it's a long game. Like, we're a veteran group. We'll dial in. It might take some time, and we kind of did. Like, we hung around and got it together. Pons hit a three, and we're hanging in there, punching, and then they extend it to 11, and
then the bottom fell out.
I mean, Tennessee had 42 points at the 10:32 mark. They ended the game with 49 points.
I turned it off by then. I turned it off with like 15 minutes to go in the game. I was just like, I threw the Seinfeld gif in there, and I went on about my evening, man, because you just knew. It was like,
I quit watching at halftime. Checked the score halfway through the second and realized it wasn't getting any better. So
here's the thing that was so bewildering to me about it is that's not how we play Florida in basketball.
Normally. No.
That was what was most shocking. I'm like, it's a Florida game. I mean, by God, during this 15-year, you know, trip through the desert that we're in as an athletic program, the one thing we could count on was we brought it anytime we played Florida in basketball. Really let me down.
Absolutely.
I'll go ahead and say it in the A block. I saw some softness. Yeah, I said it, Russ. They're soft.
Let's
Rick Barnes said last night after the game, it makes me sick to watch a group of guys not play hard. He said, Fulke and Eves can't hide behind anyone anymore. They're the ones the young guys look to. We proved tonight we're not good enough to go through the motions. He said, I'm not going to let guys take things for granted. And finally, he said, I don't know what it's going to be, but I will change the lineup.
Yeah, it's really strange. I'll be interested to see how we come out. I don't even – who do we play Missouri Saturday at home?
Saturday night at 8:30.
Yeah, we got to bounce back, man. That was ugly, and like I said earlier, it's caused me to kind of recalibrate my expectations for this season. We'll get to that, but first we have breaking news. Let's go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. We have Bryce bombs this afternoon.
Whoa.
John Bryce.
Oh, no.
Formerly of the Maryville Daily Times and VolQuest here in Knoxville, now working for Football Scoop, says that Tennessee is working behind the scenes to get Kevin Steele some help on his interim staff. Sources informing Football Scoop that Steele, officially the Vols' interim coach following the firing of Jeremy Pruitt, is moving to reunite with veteran defensive line assistant Rodney Garner.
Mm.
Additionally, Steele is discussing a plan to move former Vol standout linebacker Kevin Simon from his off-field role as director of player development into Tennessee's linebacker coaching position.
I get down.
I know why he's doing that. I know why he's doing that.
Henry?
There was a conversation yesterday with Kevin Steele and Henry Toto and his family. And it was asked if Kevin Simon could be the linebacker's coach.
So we're letting a sophomore hire the linebackers coach. Look, I'm not necessarily against it. Kevin Simon is a great player here. That's interesting.
The best way to put it is, what's a good word for it? He stomped for Kevin Simon yesterday in their meeting. Mm.
Mm. I think he's a hell of a lot more qualified to be an inside linebackers coach than that bearded idiot we had that's getting, basically set off a bomb in our program.
Well, and the connection, though, of course, is both Kevin Steele, like Toto, played at De La Salle and Concord, the legendary high school football program out there. Kevin Simon, yeah. They're both California guys, and that makes sense. Okay, so I think we all agree that kind of makes sense, like get Henry back in the fold. Simon probably be a good linebackers coach anyway, and obviously Rodney Garner is an elite defensive line coach / recruiter in the SEC, but what does this mean more broadly in terms of who the head coach is going to be next year?
I think we're at a point and in such a bad crisis right now, Russ, that I wonder if their goals aren't just by the week right now, if not just day to day. It's so unstable over there.
Trey, I think the interesting question will be is if they're able to get these guys hired, is like, how does Simon's contract change if they're just basically changing his title and he's not getting a contract and maybe Rodney Garner is working on some sort of provisional basis, like if Kevin Steele is the head coach, you'll be the defensive line coach, and if Kevin Steele is the head coach, Kevin Simon will be the linebackers coach, and I guess that would make sense. But if you're planning on having a big search and kicking the tires on other coaches, and you've got Randy Boyd in the Knoxville News Sentinel today giving in an exclusive interview saying, we are not going to have on-the-job training anymore. We're going to hire proven winner. That does not point towards Kevin Steele being your head coach. That points more towards a Jamie Chadwell, maybe even a Bill O'Brien, somebody of like that. It just seems really odd to me that you might start hiring full-time assistant coaches on the staff and then turn around maybe a week or so later, a matter of days, and say, no, we've got a new head coach coming in. That just seems like a lot of whiplash for a program that is just mired in dysfunction and chaos right now.
Well, what's the most likely explanation, Trey? Russ?
I think the most likely explanation is that Kevin Steele is going to be the head coach, at least for on an interim basis, if not permanently.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, I look at it and think, okay, you got to get some of these position coaches in. With Kevin Simon, I mean, the move kind of makes sense, I guess, right? I mean, if we're going to go down that road at Tennessee. I think they're trying to do anything and everything they can to keep Crouch and Henry Toa from leaving Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I mean,
it's an interesting move for sure.
The Simon thing doesn't bother me at all. I think this is the next logical step for him in his career, is to move to an on-the-field position.
Yeah, I don't think it bothers anybody. I think we're talking about Kevin Steele here and whether or not he's going to be the head coach. And I've been telling you that I think that he'd probably be my odds-on favorite in just terms, not necessarily who I want to get the job, but who I think is going to get the job. I always thought it pointed towards Kevin Steele. And to me, if he's starting to fill out a staff, that's interesting, and you put Rodney Garner on the staff, you put Kevin Simon on the staff, that's going to get some people fired up. I can already hear it in your voice, Bear. You're starting to buy in a little bit. Maybe not all the way, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to stay reality-based, and I mean, it's not so much buy-in as, just the smartest thing to do at this point to try and stabilize the program.
Well, I'll say that, and this is what I was getting at earlier, it's not a smart thing to do if you don't think Kevin Steele is going to be the head coach. He doesn't need to be hiring assistants. Can we agree there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like that's.
But I could see a path where, you know, he could put together a solid staff on an interim basis.
I think he would put together a solid staff. I think he,
yeah,
and I think he'd be a good recruiter. I think he could get some hay in this 2022 recruiting class and start some momentum there. I think it's going to be very difficult for a lot of fans to even entertain the idea, and I get it. I understand because
they're going to have to come to grips with it. I mean, everybody I hear across almost every show in town, on the message boards everywhere are, and all our callers will be like, well, you know, the four names that most Tennessee fans will quote you with, which is Kiffin, Freeze, and we'll talk about Freeze in a minute, I'm sure. Kiffin, Freeze, Chadwell, Napier, you know, we aren't in a position where we can hire anybody. We don't have an AD right now. The NCAA is coming to town.
It's all so weird, man.
But I do think if they're going to let him do that, then the biggest hire to me is what are they going to do at offensive coordinator? Are they going to keep Chaney? Or are they going to bring in, or are they going to let him go out and get, you know, one of these younger guys who are, you know, like a Lebby or a Kendall Briles or.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
I don't think Kiffin's letting go of Lebby.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I wouldn't if I were him.
I keep seeing people throw that name out there. I don't know that that would be a good move for Lebby right now.
This
is kind of just the state of where we are right now. Is Ole Miss is in a much better position now. We can turn that around quickly, but as long as the specter of major NCAA sanctions hangs over the program's head, and that's a situation that could exist for some time, months, maybe even up to a year or so. We don't know. Hopefully not that long, but we just do not know at this time. It's going to make it very difficult, which leads me to believe that they would go ahead and honor Jim Chaney's contract. He's still here for another year, hoping that A, that might calm down some of the roster attrition and keep some guys, because he's well-liked in the program by the players, that might keep some guys from looking around and leaving. And then B, you have some continuity, not having to learn an entire new system for some of the players that have been here for a while. And then C, I keep coming back to this, people have no idea how much Pruitt was meddling and micromanaging the offense last year. Jim Chaney is a very well-accomplished offensive coordinator across the country, across this league, and I got to believe that if Kevin Steele, and we don't know this, but if he cannot micromanage, if he can let Jim Chaney be Jim Chaney, then I think our offensive production, not saying we're going to come out there and score 50 a game, but we're going to score more than the 22 or whatever we scored a game this year. We're going to be much more productive.
I agree.
Let's take a quick break. When we continue, we'll digest that for a little bit, and we'll talk about the athletics director thing. John Gilbert might be getting Shiano'd here. I don't think the fan base wants John Gilbert back. That was met with a resounding no thank you yesterday on your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. We'll continue to kick around some other names and try and make our best guess at where Tennessee might be looking. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Like it or not, so. All right, we're going to go through some more of these athletics director candidates. Going up here just a few. First, though, we go to the G3 Help Me Hotline for the first time this afternoon. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, joins us. Hello, Josh. How are you, sir?
I am good. I am driving over the ever-beautiful Cumberland River as we speak.
Oh, very good. Are you on your way out of town?
I'm on my way to the gym. So, in a way, it's in Antioch, Tennessee, so I guess you could say that.
There you go. Well, Josh, be interested to get your thoughts. You know, it's been funny how we've watched the pendulum swing regarding Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee from – I had you on at the beginning after the Georgia game. Oh, there's no way he's going to get fired. And then it's – you know, he's probably not going to get fired. That would be crazy, too. Well, he might get fired, too. He's probably going to get fired, too. He got fired. Your thoughts on Tennessee spinning the coaching carousel wheel once again this week in Knoxville?
Yeah, so I talked to a lot of people about this throughout the morning. I'm going to go ahead and just pretend that was in preparation for my appearance on the show today. So I've been hard at prep for this appearance all day.
Well done.
And I think, whereas my reaction initially, well, it wasn't much of a shock by the time it happened. My reaction now, as opposed to listening to the press conference there with the chancellor and president and Fulmer, is number one, I really think that there was a lot more strategy maybe behind that presser than I initially thought. Now, I'm not like bemoaning any of the strategy or calling out anyone on falsehoods. I think there was a lot of angling going on there. I think maybe what we haven't heard anything from, aside from a prepared statement, is we haven't really heard a lot from Jeremy Pruitt himself, for obvious reasons. I really think that the perception out there that he's going to be, you know, really kind of persona non grata, kind of can't touch him right now, I think that may not be entirely accurate. And I also think it may be that, you know, there is a middle ground that's eventually going to be able to be met there monetarily. So that kind of pertains to him moving forward. As it pertains to Tennessee, here's why that's important to me. I don't think that maybe the hammer that we're expecting to fall on that program may be quite as big as a lot of folks have feared it to be. That's not that I've been on the phone with anyone in Indianapolis, certainly not. But whereas I was a little more worried at the beginning of this week, I think Tennessee is going to be able to come out of this not unscathed, but not with a death blow dealt to their program by any stretch either.
Boy, that would be great news for Tennessee fans. How do you manage this right now if you're Tennessee? Because not only are you without a coach, you're without an athletics director. It sounds like they're going to prioritize that first. You want your athletics director to be able to pick his coach. And time is of the essence. Obviously, it's Tennessee. The perception is it's a dumpster fire. And I would argue that perception is very close to reality. But you want to move quickly on this. How do you balance waiting to find out what those NCAA penalties you're talking about might be? Because obviously that's going to impact the coaching market, right?
Oh, it certainly is. Here's what I do. From a very shrewd PR and messaging standpoint, you know, let's just say for a second, let's assume what I just said is reality. Let's say they get wind of that. So let's say that in the end, they start to get a feel that the measures they've taken satisfy most of what the NCAA wants. Maybe there are some punitive penalties handed down here and there, but by and large, they know they're going to get out of this thing having done what they need to do. If they start to get that feel, they're going to be way ahead of public perception. So what I would do is take a very hardline stance talking about how good the job is. Be atypical to normal coaching searches. Because what's going to happen is, once the word comes down on penalties one way or the other, there's going to be a reset button hit in the coaching market. And either everyone's going to have their opinion of Tennessee being a dumpster fire validated, or they're going to look over there and say, wait a minute, they didn't get hit nearly as hard as I thought they would. Well, if that's not going to be hanging over that job, that's a really good job. And so you kind of revert back to your old opinion of the Tennessee job, and that administration can simultaneously look at everyone and say, see, we told you. Now what does everyone think about this job? That's kind of the way I try and set that up, to where I can control that narrative the moment that that announcement comes down one way or the other from Indianapolis.
Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, with us this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Josh, now that Pruitt is gone, who do you like? Kevin Steele is the interim coach. He's thought to be a candidate for the job on a permanent basis. And then you've got all the names that I'm sure you're well familiar with and our audience is well familiar with. What do you think Tennessee should do? Who should they go after?
I we've talked about this a couple times, and my opinion's unchanged on this. I would strongly lean towards the interim route, whatever you want to call it. I call it the interim route for 2020 with Kevin Steele. hoping all the while that we get a definitive answer one way or the other at some point during that process, and then we can start a legitimate national, you know, year-long, six-month-long coaching search, however long it takes. That's the route I'd go. Because here's what I don't think is going to happen. I don't think that you're losing 2020 if you do that. I do think you're losing 2020 if you just kind of choose to go day-to-day, week-to-week, and then hope that an announcement comes out sometime this week or next week so we can get a coach. I don't think that's the best way to go about it. Like, whatever route you choose to take, make sure that you control as much of that route as you can instead of leaving yourself twisting in the wind based on the comings and goings from NCAA headquarters. I'd go the interim route for 2020, and then I would sort of reshuffle things and go into 2021, hopefully with the best of the best that I could find in the coaching market and more certainty around my job.
Hey, what's up, Josh? It's Trey. Thanks for joining us, buddy. And Rodney Garner, a name, he's interested in Tennessee. They've reached out in a sense of trying to garner, you know, what he thinks about this whole situation. And now you've got an opportunity to bring him on campus. How big would that be? No matter who the permanent head coach is at Tennessee, how big is it to get somebody like Rodney Garner on staff at Tennessee?
It is a big deal to get anyone with familiarity and name recognition in this conference on campus and on that staff at this point. It's considering the current set of circumstances, because what it does is twofold or threefold. I mean, let's just go twofold, though. The one thing it does is it stabilizes whatever your recruiting apparatus is going to be. It stabilizes one of your position coaches, so the on-field product has a portion of itself stabilized. But also what it does is it sends a little message out there. Maybe it's a ripple, maybe it's a wave, but it sends a little message out into the coaching market. It's kind of like watching Jaws and no one wants to go in the water. Well, then the first person goes in the water, then five people go in the water, and well, it ended poorly in Jaws. But let's just say there is no shark out there off the shores of Knoxville. I think it sends a good message to the coaching market, and it's the message that you want sent out there. And it also tells your players, hey, this guy's been around the block a time or 10. If he's comfortable coming in here, maybe I shouldn't be so hastily looking to get out of here.
What does Tennessee have to do over the next few days? You know, classes, what's today, Wednesday? Yeah, my days are all messed up. Wednesday, so classes started today. There's names out there that are, you know, looking around, checking their options, see if the portal is for them. Kevin Steele has told his staff, the new staff that is at Tennessee, or the leftovers, that, you know, the 48 hours are going to be about keeping the Tennessee players in Knoxville. What has to be the message to these guys? The Toa Toas, the Crouches, the, you know, the star players for Tennessee, because there's not a full laundry list of them. So what's the message have to be to keep these guys in Knoxville?
I think the message has to be from the coaches who are on staff right now. I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. I'm speaking as one of the coaches now. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. I don't care what your position coach was, who the head coach was. I can promise you right now, everyone who is on this staff still is choosing to be here. So what we tell you, you can take to the bank, because you know we're all in. Like, we chose to be here. We could be out of here, and we're not. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. And when it comes time for you to potentially explore a career at the next level, you know, very few NFL scouts are going to come in here and ask, what was his combined record in college? What they are going to ask about is a lot of character-related review type questions. And if you are one of the ones who sticks around here and helps us get through this thing, I can promise you that's going to be conveyed to everyone down the road at the next level. And I'm not saying it wouldn't if you went anywhere else. But I am saying you got a chance at least to be a part of something really special here. Now, that's how I'd handle it. I still don't think that's going to bat 1,000. I don't think there's an approach that keeps everyone you want on campus. But I do think that'll resonate. And by default, the kids that does resonate with are ones that you'll probably never have to worry about getting in trouble again, because they got the right mindset and they want to be there.
That's a really good point. When you talk, and I've talked with folks around the Southeast, and I'm sure you have, in the coaching community, in the agent world and whatnot, what are the thoughts on Tennessee over the last 5 days? And even, look, 2 months, you can go back, whatever, the investigation. Is this something where it was like, okay, Tennessee finally got caught, for doing stuff sloppy that we knew that they were doing the whole time. I mean, even Mark Stoops said something about it yesterday. I'm interested to get your take on outside perception in Tennessee. You know, the chances are pretty much laying out there that, hey, we committed a bunch of violations here in Tennessee. Y'all come take a look now.
I think there's been a lot of folks incredulous at how sloppy they were. No one inside the world of college football has even batted an eye at the ethical side of this thing. I've reiterated that over and over again. This is not an ethical dilemma for Tennessee. I know they use that word a lot at the press setting for obvious reasons, but that's not what people have even batted an eye at. There is a lot of surprise and incredulosity, if I can use that word, at how sloppy they were and the methodology they chose to go about doing their business. Like, I'm on I-24 right now. The speed limit here is 65. Every one of us is doing 80 miles an hour. No one cares. But if someone comes through here doing 95 and there's a sheriff's car behind me and he's got his middle finger out the window as he goes by, he's getting pulled over because he's stupid. And so if you do things in a stupid manner, then you deserve the penalties that sometimes stupid people get. And there's a big difference between being able to run a defense and being able to run a program. And I don't believe in hiring first-time head coaches for major jobs because of that. Sometimes they succeed, but there is a lot of learning curve that goes on when it comes to running a program, and that's part of it. And so that's where the shock has been. It hasn't been that, oh, they did this. It's been, can you believe how they did this or how they tried to do this?
That's kind of the shocking part in all of that, is that nobody's really shocked. I mean, it's more or less, okay, we get it. They've been doing it for a while. Last question for me. How is this going to impact other schools? I have been told that during the course of the investigation, and I'm not talking about the folks like interviewing Pruitt, but there were certain names brought up from Jeremy Pruitt's last month at Alabama. You know, a few players there that he was recruiting, they were brought up during questioning of assistant coaches and whatnot, people that have been with Jeremy for a while, and then also Amarius Mims. He is a part of this investigation. That is not a secret. That is out there. The recruitment of Amarius Mims by Pruitt, Niedermeyer, this staff, along with others, it's out there. How does this thing trickle down? Like, I don't, you know, Alabama – you know, they're not going to be involved in this, I don't think. But I'm interested to see how Tennessee's problems trickle down to Georgia, you know, to Auburn, maybe even Alabama. What's your take on where the conference stands with all of this? Because if they're looking at Tennessee for this stuff, Josh, I promise you they're going to be looking at other schools.
I think that sentiment is accurate. The general feel is, from our perspective here at, let's say we're 30,000 feet, the general perspective inside the industry is you are not going to notice a bump in the road for Georgia or Alabama or the other programs tied in. Now, what could happen behind the scenes is you could have, you know, some folks asked to fall on the sword or stay off the road for 6 months, something along those lines that if we ever find out about it, we normally find out after it's already over. But I think, again, there is such an insult, for lack of a better term, even at the league level, when you do things and you do them so recklessly. You look at some of the other places we're talking about here, and I know the word reckless has been thrown around with Georgia. I think it's relative in nature, because I don't think their operation was quite as reckless as what they were doing at Tennessee, and I certainly don't think that about Alabama. So I think those programs, you know, as far as folks in the business are concerned right now, coaching business, there's not a widely held sentiment that they're next. Now, that could change tomorrow, but that's not what people are feeling right now, at least people that I've talked to.
Josh Pate.
Hey, Josh, I got a follow-up real quick, Russ. I'm sorry. I had a real quick follow-up. If Tennessee was looking back on Jeremy Pruitt's last few months and investigators were talking to assistant coaches that were with him and recruiting staff people that were with him his last few months at Alabama, and maybe a couple players had ended up at Alabama, would they go back that far? Because the chancellor said that the NCAA, the investigation they're doing right now involves Jeremy Pruitt's tenure at Tennessee. But the fact that they're bringing up players that signed with Alabama that same year Jeremy Pruitt signed with Tennessee Is that any kind of worrisome factor, or is that just them doing their due diligence to go back and kind of look at his time as a whole?
I think a lot of it is due diligence. I also think, you know, let's say worst case. Let's say there were improprieties in the recruitments of those players. And I don't have knowledge of that, but let's just play devil's advocate here. Well, that's only part of it. Okay, then, as you well know, you're going to have to go nail that down. And if you have any kind of sense about you, that's going to be a very cold trail. Because it's going to be very hard, if not impossible, to nail those sorts of things down. That's why I don't think there's any concern at any of those other programs, even as we talk about the nature of the content we're talking about right now. Like, it's, you can talk about it all you want to. What do you have? When we go sit down in that room and those lawyers are there, what do you have? I don't think there's going to be much of anything had at those other programs.
Josh Pate, 247sports.com. Follow him at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Josh, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Josh appears, as all fan-run guests do, via the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. You can visit them online at g3helpme.com or call 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. Again, that's g3helpme.com. Now, Trey, I don't know if this has been one of those. It's only Wednesday, and it already feels like a long week. My brain's already fried. So you said to him twice that part of the interviews, the investigation centers around Pruitt's recruitment of prospects at Alabama to Alabama.
So
is that something that is – that's news to me.
I'll make it clear. During the investigation, and they were interviewing multiple folks, during the course of the investigation, there were two names that were brought up for players that at Alabama during Pruitt's last month as an assistant at Alabama and their recruitment to Alabama. Now, I don't know. Look, here's the thing, too. I don't know how deep that part goes, and that's why I asked how far would they go back. But I know of two names of players that played for Alabama this year that were brought up in the questioning of assistant coaches, student assistants, recruiting staff, Jeremy Pruitt, Niedermeyer, and
if we're going down, we might as well take Bama down with us. Let's take Georgia, too. What did Jeremy Pruitt just – that dullard, that complete buffoon, ends up just taking down not only the program that he couldn't take above mediocrity, but ends up taking down the two premier programs in the conference currently.
I think it went back to, I think they were just looking at his recruiting practices as a whole and even Niedermeyer as well. And I don't know, this is all alleged stuff, but the fact that, and that's what caught me off guard, the fact that two names are brought up that were on the current Bama roster this past year, they're no longer on the Bama roster after the national championship game. That's what kind of threw me off for a bit.
All right, stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell Bear and Trey back with you, taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200, 546-8200, if you want to jump in on the show. And already, man, I've already learned several things today. First of all, according to reports from John Bryce on Football Scoop, Tennessee is moving to hire both Rodney Garner as defensive line coach and former Vol Kevin Steele as linebackers coach this afternoon. We'll see if that
Kevin
indeed.
Simon.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have trouble with that. If Steele gets the job, I'm going to. Yeah, that's going to be tough for me. Kevin Simon as a middle linebackers coach who's already on staff in a support position and moving to an on the field which obviously, I mean, they're letting him do that. That would, that seems to be a positive for Steele as far as his chances of getting the job.
I think Rodney Garner, I'm going to go out on a limb. Why not go out on a limb on Wednesday? I'm going to go out and say Rodney Garner is hired by Tennessee by tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so it looks like that's going to happen. Also, starting to hear, it sounds like Tennessee wants to move fast. Randy Boyd and Donnie Plowman, in an interview with the News Sentinel, say they're not going small anymore. They said they want to hire. Randy Boyd's quote was, "Tennessee is not the place for on-the-job training. They are going to hire a proven winner." And it sounds like they want to move fast.
Are we talking about the AD or the head coach?
Yes. I think they want an AD with proven experience as an athletics director and a coach with proven experience as a head coach. That's what they're saying anyway, which obviously that would, you know, we're coming off an AD with no experience and a coach with no head coaching experience. So they want to do it differently this time. And then did you catch what Trey did there during the interview, Bear, where he just slipped that? I mean, that, am I making too big a deal of that? That they are in the investigation asking Pruitt about players he recruited at Alabama?
What were the two names again, Trey?
Yeah, sorry. Good try, Bear.
Oh.
He didn't say.
Okay. Well, Trey's learning. Man. He's learning some of our tricks. No, I mean, I thought it was. I wondered, you know. I mean, I didn't think about it for long, but the thought had crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Would a good strategy, strategically, for Tennessee, to, because you know this stuff is going on, where this guy. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. The guy was, you know. He was brought on to Alabama staff. I mean, he was Alabama's Niedermeyer at one point. They're just really good at covering their tracks. But, yeah, I think that would be – that would make me feel better about, you know, our administration. To me, that's playing hardball. Like, really? All right.
Well, I mean, I don't know that.
Let's drag Georgia and Alabama into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's what's happening. I think that the investigation. I mean, this. I'm assuming, Trey, that you're talking about the Glazier. They're asking these questions. They're just trying to get to the bottom of all this. I don't think this is like
they're just trying. Yeah,
Donnie Plowman sitting in her office going, you know what? If we go down, we might as well take Alabama with us.
No, I'm not saying it like that, but. I'd use the hell out of it with leverage. And I mean, that's what happened. That's why I don't think Pruitt, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of saber rattling. I really don't think that Tennessee's going to pay Pruitt a dime.
There were rumors and innuendo that Pruitt was getting a little close to the fire during his last month or two at Alabama.
Wow.
And that's not piling on. That's being honest. So that's why they asked.
And we hired him. We hired him. That's nice. Folks, portions of the show today brought to you by Logo Solutions. If your business or organization needs great products to help promote your brand, services, or message, call Logo Solutions. You can call and set up a free consultation. Their number is 865-966-3434. What you want to do is go to logosolutionsinc.com and start shopping there. They've got over 1 million customizable products, including apparel, headwear, promotional products, signs, banners, business cards, and more. If you've got a logo, they've got a solution. It's Logo Solutions, right product, right price, right on time. Visit logosolutionsinc.com for more information. Let's just go to the phones here. Jeff in Seymour batting leadoff on the drive today. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up?
You know, it sounds like we finally got a guy in there now that really knows how to run a business instead of running a temporary service. You know, I mean, it's about time. That's all you can say. It's about time because, really, I mean, we've been bringing in these guys. Let's train them. Oh, let's hope it works out. And here we are 3 or 4 years later, I'm getting rid of and bringing in the next one.
Randy Boyd so far is saying all the right things. And we'll see what happens. I mean, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do it. But so far, he's hitting the right notes and saying what fans want to hear. But it's one of those things where I think for a lot of fans, you're just like, yeah, we've been down this before. John Curry said the right things. Philip Fulmer said the right. They all say the right things. Like, I've never seen an athletics director or an administrator, with maybe the exception of Jimmy Cheek, who spent one press conference up there eating his boogers on stage. Like, for the most part, they've said the right things. It's just no follow through. And so I think a lot of fans are like, okay, show me. Like, it's great, Randy Boyd. You're going to hire a winner. Yeah, what do you expect him to say? Oh, we're going to hire a loser. We're going to hire guys. We're going to give him some time to learn on the job. No, you're not going to say that. Show me. Go out there and fix this. That's what we want.
Well, we'll know soon enough. I'll tell you that much. Whenever they finally do good, we'll know right off the bat what the AD they bring in. You know, if they bring in some clown, we're going to know exactly here we go again. But if they can actually get somebody that, you know, that's proven, then we're going to know what's moving finally a different direction than it should be. You know, one thing about this Pruitt thing going to court, when you start digging further for court activities, you never know what stuff could be dug up. Of course, it may be some more embarrassing stuff that could come out on YouTube. But the thing about it is you never know what embarrassing stuff could be brought upon yourself that you've been trying to hide. So that's the reason that Pruitt may really want to think about what he's doing before he goes forward with this.
Yeah, Pruitt doesn't want to go to court. And he might get $1 million or something out of Tennessee just to shut up and go away. But he did not want to end up on a witness stand or in front of the camera for a right. deposition or anything like that. I guarantee. I mean,
can you imagine the discovery?
I mean, could you? How many people around the SEC would be holding their breath knowing that that guy was under oath?
Sound like a lot.
And with his mental state, you know, right now, there's no telling what he could blab. He may get mad and just say, "That's it. I'm just gonna throw everybody underneath the bus."
Just go full on Colonel Jessup.
You know, I mean, really, I mean, it's going to be so. This is going to be entertaining when the 30 for 30 comes out on this. You know, we're going to see Trey up there, you know, on TV. Maybe you guys, hey, you never know, right?
Maybe. I mean, no 30 for 30 on this disaster is complete without Trey Wallace front center, in my opinion. That's just me, though. Thank you, Jeff.
It's going to be like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme, the ending to Talk Sports had to be playing as Pruitt walked out of the building for the final time, right?
The ending of Veep, the music at the ending of Veep.
I've not gotten into that. That just doesn't. I don't know why.
It's a funny show.
That's what I hear.
I couldn't either.
Let's take a quick time out. Coming up, Alex Olive has your top four at four. You're listening to The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up right after this.